Begin the current daf, Masechta Shabbos, daf Kuf Chav Zayin. We begin 5 lines in from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah, which we began the 18th Perek of Masechta Shabbos, Perek Mefanan. We said that the Mishnah began with the idea that although there's a concept of Tircha, that you're not allowed to do excessive exertion on Shabbos, however, regarding certain things, for example, for Achnasas Archim and for Bitl Beis HaMedrash, that people are not going to be able to learn, we're allowed to go ahead and do an extra Tircha that generally we would not be able to do. So the Mishnah said that you could clear out 4 or 5 boxes, which we had 2 interpretations exactly what that meant. And then it said, B'lo Yisal Eitzer, however, you cannot do this storehouse. And the Gemara had 2 interpretations. Either it was going like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which meant to say that you cannot even begin the Eitzer, the storehouse, because if you never used it beforehand, it's considered Muktzeh, it's distinct, and it's separate from your intent to use it on Shabbos because you never used it before. Or it's like Rabbi Shimon that says, B'lo Yisal Eitzer, means say, but you cannot clear out the Eitzer, the storehouse, because if you totally clear it out, and then you're going to see that on the floor there are some holes, then you might come to smooth them out, and that will possibly bring to a malacha deraisa of boina, of smoothing out the holes in the ground, and thereby completing the house. So now the Gemara continues speaking about the idea about clearing out the oitzer of 4 or 5 boxes at one time, and specifically regarding a maloisa oitzer, the Gemara brings a braisa, turn up on. Ein maschilim bo'itzer tchilim. Now a person is not allowed to initially begin on Shabbos using the items in an oitzer in the storehouse, which is exactly as the interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that they were saying that lo yisa oitzer meant to say that you're not allowed to start it if you never used it before. Aval oisa b'shvil kadei shekonis v'yotza. However, you're allowed to make a path through the storehouse so that you could come in and out, although you're not allowed to use anything from there. However, you could make a path and to clear your way to get in and out. To which the Gemara asks, oisa b'shvil, can you make a pathway? V'amrit e'maschilim, but you said that you're not allowed to initially start using any item inside the storehouse, because according to Yehuda, who has a very broad spectrum of mukta and very stringent, he says that these items are considered separated from my intent to use it because I never used it before Shabbos. So if they're all mukta, if they're mukta, how am I allowed to move things away to make a path to go in and out if they're mukta? That the Gemara says, what the Braisa means to say is, Oysa b'shvil b'raglab. You can make a path in and out of the storehouse with your feet. And that is, you could kick a box here, kick a box there, as you're walking, and that's not considered tiltal of muktzah, because that's what's called tiltal begufay. If you move something with your foot, that's not the problem of muktzah, and that's a way that you can make a path in and out, b'chnisasa u'b'yitzasa, when you're coming and going inside the storehouse. Talking about learning the Braisa, again on this topic, Tavua Tzavura, regarding produce that was piled up, which is obvious that you're setting it aside for, as an oitzer, as a storehouse, because you have it piled up and it's not ready for use. So, Bizman Shehischel Bo Me'er Shabbos, if it was already started to have been used from before Shabbos, then Mutlus Topic Me'er Neve Shabbos. Again, similar to the concept of what we said according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that if you started using it, let's say, to feed your animals, and you started using those items before Shabbos, so then you can go ahead and use it on Shabbos. It's not Muktzah, you already started using it. Vimlav, but you didn't. Then Oslus Topic Me'er Neve Shabbos, then you're not allowed to go ahead and use it on Shabbos. Divi Reb Shimon, that's the opinion of Reb Shimon. Reb Acha says, no, it's permitted, even though you never used it from before Shabbos, it's not muktzah because it's food items for the animals or for yourself, and therefore it's not muktzah. To which the Gemara asks, Klapi Lai, which way are you heading with this? In other words, this is exactly the opposite of what we always understood. Reb Shimon is the one that permits muktzah on regarding the general consensus of it, and here he's being machmer. Here you're saying that the opinion that says you're not allowed to start the oitzet chila initially on Shabbos, that's the opinion of Reb Shimon, and Reb Acha is the one that's matter. So the Gemara says, no, le'ema divirir b'acha, the one that's stringent and says that if you didn't start before Shabbos, you can't start on Shabbos, that's the opinion of b'acha. And Rabbi Shimon matter, to the contrary, Rabbi Shimon is the one that's matter, as we said on the previous daf, in the interpretation of our Mishnah, b'lo yisa itzer, Rabbi Shimon holds you could start it, because since this is permitted items for an animal for yourself on Shabbos, so if you could start initially on Shabbos, it's not considered muktzah, it's only Rabbi Yehuda, and in this braisa, the same thing is also the Rabbi Acha, and Rabbi Shimon is the one that holds that's mutter. So now, to explain this halacha, the Gemara brings Tana, we learned, Kama Sher Tvua Tzavur, what is the measurement of produce that's piled up to be considered that it's like an oitzer and that it's considered muktzah? And that the Gemara says, Lesach, that it's half of a kor, which is 15 sa'in. That less than a lesach, however, would not be considered an oitzer. That would not be a storehouse. Storehouse is only when you have a certain amount of produce there. That's considered separate. This is where I store things. It's not something I'm using on a daily basis. And then on Shabbos, I don't have a mind to use it. But if it's less than a lesach, then it would not be considered a storehouse. And then you would even start be allowed, according to even Rabbi Acha and Rabbi Yehuda, to initially begin it on Shabbos. this that we said, shir tevuah tzavur bekama. He asked him the same question. What is the measurement of produce piled up that would be considered an oitzer and that you wouldn't be able to start initially on Shabbos? And he gave him the same answer. Malay, Hari Amr, they already said, which we just said, shir tevuah tzavur lesach, the measurement for produce that's piled up is a lesach. Now, related to our Mishnah, the Gemara asked the following question. Ibailu. Hani arba v'chamish kubis tekamer. Regarding these four or five boxes that we said in our Mishnah, which we said that although tircha, you're not going to be clearing things on Shabbos, however, for achnasas arachim, to make room for the guests and to make room for people learning to hear the drasha, you're allowed to clear away four or five boxes. So the question is, arba v'chamish kubis in tveiloi, we only allowed you four or five boxes, but not more than that. And that is, the boxes themselves, you're allowed to clear out. And then you could fill up the boxes if you want to, or let's say a sack on your shoulder, you can fill up the amount that would go in the box at one time. But to go more than five times, for example, to go ahead and clear out many small kalim, and to do it on many trips, that would be aser. And what would the understanding of that would be? That would be alma lema'ute behiluchi adif, that we would understand that would mean we want you to go as few times as possible, even though it's going to be adding more weight to each time that you're going, but we only allow you four or five trips, which that's the idea when we say four or five boxes. It means to say to do it in four or five times, even if they're very heavy boxes, because we don't want you to go as much, we want you to go as little as possible in your travels. Oy dilmor, maybe no, lema'ute masi adif, maybe it's better to have lighter loads, because the heavier loads, the more tircha it is. And therefore, if you come to clear it out by taking small items, then you could carry the amount that would be in five boxes. And therefore, even though you're taking in 20 trips, but if it's the amount that you would be able to take in five heavy boxes, that would be mutter. And obviously, Rashi says this question is only according to the interpretation of Rav Chisda in our Mishnah, where she said, Dal Vehei meant Davka only four or five, four when there's only five boxes in the storehouse, five when there's many, but you can't take more than that. But according to the other interpretation, it was you could take as many boxes as you want. Obviously, a question wouldn't apply. So according to Rav Chisda, holds only four or five. Did it mean only four or five trips? And that is, you can take as much as you want each box, but we don't want you to go more than that amount. Or does it mean the measurement of four or five boxes? But however, it would be better to do it in more trips and lighter loads, because that's better. Which one's better, less trips or lighter load? And that the Gemara says, Toshma, we bring a raya, the Tani Chada, we learned in one braisa, that you could even clear out of the storehouse even four or five boxes of barrels of oil and barrels of wine. Yet v'tani yidibchin, in another braisa, be'esra b'chamesh esra, in 10 or 15. And now the Gemara thinks that that's going on the boxes, to say that you could clear out, if it's small boxes, 10 or 15 boxes, and that you'll be going more than 5 trips, you'll be doing 10, 15 trips, but they're lighter, but they're smaller boxes. And therefore the Gemara says, my love b'chol kamivaki, isn't this exactly the question that they're arguing about? Dimar savar mi'ut b'yilucha adib, the one that says 4 or 5 boxes, held that it's better to go in less trips. So even though you're carrying very heavy boxes, since it's only four or five times, that's why we say we only allow you four or five boxes. Umarasav, but the one that says of 10 or 15, he holds me utib masa, it's better to do lighter loads and therefore carry the amount of five boxes in 10 or 15 trips. And therefore that seems to be a machlokes tanaim. Another Gemara says, Loi, the kuleyame mi'ute bihulucha adif. Everyone agrees that it's better to do the less trips. And therefore it makes sense to do it in five boxes. And that way you won't be doing more than five trips. And Umi Savit be'esra b'chomesh asara, when it says in the Braisa, the other one, that you could do with 10 or 15 akupis koi, and then 10 or 15 boxes, that's not what it's going on. Akadin koi, it's going on the jugs. And they're not arguing. When we said 10 or 15, it meant 10 or 15 jugs you could clear out in the five boxes that you have. A box is larger and you put the jugs inside the box. V'loy kasha. And this is the way you resolve the two braises. The one that says that you're taking out four or five boxes was saying that you, when you're putting one jug, very big jugs, in one box, they weren't talking about the amount of jugs that you're taking, and therefore they were talking about large jugs, that each jug goes in one box. And the braisa that says that you're taking off 10 or 15 was talking about, the one that said when you're taking out 10 was talking about that it was two in each box. And that is, we're talking about not such large jugs, medium size, smaller sizes. However, and the one that says that 15 was talking about you're taking out three jugs in each box at one time. But everybody agrees that we're talking about four or five boxes. And as the Gemara ends, b'dikur de harpanya, they were talking about the jugs of harpanya, which were smaller, that there again, Everyone's saying that it's 5 boxes because you want to do as little trips as possible. Although the other one says 10 and 15. 10 was when you're taking 2 jugs in one box. And the one that says 15 was talking about 3 jugs in each box. But again, it's all being in 5 boxes. Now related to this, the Gemara says, Yibailu, they had the following question. Again, according to the opinion of Rav Chisda, that he held that it had to be Davka 4 or 5, not more than that. You cannot take out. So, Hani Arba V'chamesh Tekame, regarding these 4 or 5 boxes, they said, you're allowed to do that tircha, you're allowed to clear it out to make room for the guest or make room for people that want to hear the drasha. So the question is, Avogav de Isli Urchen Tuva, was that even if there's many guests, doesn't make a difference, you could have 100 guests. We don't let you more than 4 or 5 boxes. Maybe it was in proportion to the amount of guests, and that is each guest you could clear out 4 or 5 boxes. You have 5 guests, then it could be 25. Whatever it is, you could add as many according to the amount of guests. And then a double question. Even if you're going to say it's according to the amount of the guests, that is, if for each one you're going to add another 5 boxes you could clear out. So, could it be that one person could clear out all 30, 50, whatever amount of boxes there is? Maybe this that we allowed, that according to the amount of guests, that's how many boxes times of 5 can be cleared out, that one person could do it, or maybe each one individually has to do it, because each person can't do more than 5, because that's really a tirchi yaseh, a real exertion that we don't allow on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, let's bring a raya from a certain incident, which will answer these two questions. Tashema, Dama Rabbo Am Reb Chiyam. Pamachas Holach Rebbe L'mok Mecha. One time Rebbe went to a certain place. V'ram Mokam Docha looked at him, and he found that the place was very tight for the students that's there. In other words, he found there's not going to be room for the yeshiva students to sit there and hear the shir on Shabbos. So the Yotzla Sada, Umatza Sada Malay Arm. He went to the fields and he found the field full with bundles. The Ima Rebbe Kola Sada Kula, and Rebbe went and cleared out all the bundles. And although it was in the Carmelis on Shabbos, and the Carmelis in Alakari, but it was told that he did it less than 4 amas at a time, which is mutter in the Carmelis. And another story to illustrate this, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Hoshia, similarly, Pamachas Halach Reb Chi Lamakamech. One time Chi went to a certain place. And the same thing. Just like by Rebbe, Reb Chi went and saw that it was very tight for the yeshiva students, not going to be possible. The Yotzla Sada, he went out to the field. Umatza Sada Mle Arme, he found the field was full with bundles. The Im Reb Chi Kala Sada Kula, and Reb Chi went and cleared all the bundles. Again, although it's a Carmelis, he did it 4 Amis at a time. So Shmami, no, we hear from both of these stories, Hakol Afi Archen, that everything is according to the students, to the guests that there are. Because we find that he took out much more than 5. They cleared all the bundles, so therefore we see that each one can have 5. Not just 5 for all of them, but for each guest is 5. However, V'dayin Tibaylach, but you can still ask the other question, is it Chad Gavri Mafnin Le Lekulo? Or Dilma Kol Gavri Gavri Mafnin Na'avshe? Is it that one person can clear out all 100, 200 bundles or boxes or whatever it is? Or is it that each one has to clear out his own 5, but one person cannot do more than 5? And that's what it says. What do I mean? Toshema, v'ima Rebbe. It says that Rebbe cleared out all the bundles, and Rebbe Chiya cleared out all the bundles by his story. So obviously one person could clear out all of them. So it answers both of the questions. And that's what it says. No, you can't resolve the second question. Ulutameich Rebbe ben Nafshima. Do you think Rebbe himself cleared out the whole field? What do you mean? Rebbe was Hanasi. He was the prince. He was the Rosh Hashiva, the Gol Hador. Everything. The Gol Hador is clearing out the fields. That's not what it means. What does it mean that Rebbe cleared it out? He commanded, he told people, he delegated, and they went and cleared it out. Still, it's not resolved. You can still say that each person went and cleared out 5 of his own, but not maybe one person is not allowed to clear it out because you can't prove it that Rebbe did it because he himself didn't do it. So the fact that he delegated doesn't say how many people. Maybe each person went and did 5 of his own. So that doesn't answer the second half of the question, but it definitely answers the first half of the question, and that it's called Hakol Lefi Arkin. It's not that 5 for as many guests you have. It's that each one, it allows 5 boxes being cleared out for. So now it said in our Mishnah that we're allowed to clear out the 5 boxes, Mimnei Ha'erchen, because of guests, Bechulu, and because of the Bitl Beis HaMedrash, for the students to be able to hear the drasha in the Beis HaMedrash. So I'm a B'yechon, and B'yechon makes a comment from this, the way Mishnah says it, is that G'dol HaHachnas is Erchen Kashkom as Beis HaMedrash, that inviting guests into your house is as great as getting up to go into the Beis HaMedrash. And the reason is, from our mission, the Ketani, we will learn, Mimnei Ha'erchen, Mimnei Bitl Beis HaMedrash, that will allow to clear out boxes for 2 things only, for inviting guests in, and to getting up to go into the Beis HaMedrash. So obviously we see our mission equates the two. So we see it's the same chash of inviting guests in and to go in to learn in the Beis HaMedrash. However, Rav Dibi Minadah Amar, he says even more. He says, Yoyse Mashkam is Beis HaMedrash. We find that Achnas Zarechem is greater than learning in the Beis HaMedrash. And the reason why we could show this is because Zikhtani Mnei Ha'archid V'hadir U'mipnei Bitla Beis HaMedrash. That our Mishnah first places, when it says the order, it first says regarding inviting guests in, and then it says about clearing it out for going in early to the Beis HaMedrash. So obviously, the greater one of the two is inviting guests more than going into the Beis HaMedrash. So related to this, Amar Yehuda Mirav, G'der L'Achnas is Archim, not only is Achnas Archim greater than learning, but it's greater ma'akabolis p'nei Shechina, greater than accepting the divine presence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, himself in this world. That's sort of like it says in the Pasuk, V'yoymer Adonai, if nomad sasichim benecha, Avram said, please, my master, if I find favor in your eyes, al nasaver v'goyim, do not go away from me, and because I want to go ahead and get the three malachim who look like three guests to come. So imagine he had a Kadosh Baruch Hu there that was coming to Mevaka Chayilim. He says, Hashem, wait a moment, I'm going to go ahead and get these three guests. So we see that Gedol Achnas Archem, inviting guests to one's home, is greater than accepting the divine presence. So Amar Belaza, so Belaza makes a comment related to this concept of this pasuk that we just mentioned with Avraham Avinu and Hashem. Boy Rei, come and see. Kadosh Baruch Hu is very different than someone that's a flesh and blood than a human being. And that is Midas Basavadam, in Katan Yochalayim the God El Hamtin Asha Avi Etzlecha. A lower stature person cannot tell a greater stature person, hey, wait here a minute until I come to you, I have something to take care of. Vila Bakadish Bohu said, but by regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Vayoyma Adonai, Im Nomad Sasi Vigayma. If I find favor, wait a minute for me, I have to take care of something. Imagine telling a king or a president, whatever it is, wait here a moment, I have to take care of something. It's unheard of. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he allowed it. We find that he sanctioned what Avraham Avinu did. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas are different than flesh and blood. So the Gemara continues now about the greatness about Achnas Zarechem. Amar Yehuda Bar Shilo Mer Ba'asi, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Shisha Dvarim Adam Eichel Perseim Boil Mazeh. There are six things that a person, he consumes, he eats, just the fruit of his labors in this world. But V'hakarin Kayemes Lo'il Mabah, the principle is maintained for him for the world to come. Ve'elohen, and these great things are Hachnos is Archem, inviting in guests into one's home, Ubikar Chayim, visiting the sick, Ve'iun Tfila, and concentrating and focusing on one's davening, Vashkam is Beis HaMedrash, getting up early to go to the Beis HaMedrash, Ve'magadol Banav L'Talmud Torah, is someone that brings up his children to learning the words of Torah, and Vahadanas Chaver L'Kavschos, and judging one's friend to the meritorious side, you're saying that what he did, he probably meant to do good. So now the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so, what this Amor is saying, that there are these six things that a person consumes, only the payers in this world, but the principle is Lo'il Mahaba, but not to none, we learn in the Mishnah and Peah, different things. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah in Peah, Eilu Dvarim Sha'adam Oysa Oysam, these are the things that a person does them, V'oichel Parayasem B'olam Hazeh, and again, he eats the fruits in this world, V'akirin Kirmes L'olam Haba, and the principle into the next world, which is the same concept, and he says different things in the Mishnah. V'eilu Hein, these are them. Kibbut Ave'im, honoring one's father and mother, U'gimel Tz'chasadim, and doing good deeds, V'arvo Sholem Shabbeinod Machaveroi, and bringing peace between man and his friend, and greater than all of them are the words of Torah. So, Hani in Midachin Yilai. It sounds like these things and not the other things. They have different things that mentioned between the two of them. How does this Amora saying different than the Mishnah and Peah? So, we continue on to Amid Beis, where the Gemara says it's not difficult. Hani Nami Bahani Shaykh. These things are also applicable in those four of the Mishnah and Peah. And that is Achnas Sarechim, inviting a guest into your home, and Bikur Chayim, visiting the sick, are included under the rubric of Gemilas Chasadim, of doing good deeds. And even tefillah, of focusing on your tefillah, is also included in Gemilas Chasadim. As Rashi brings from a pasuk in Mishlei Perek Yud Aleph, it says, Goyimol Nafshay, someone that does good to himself, and especially since the word Nafshay is related to the idea of tefillah, is Ish Chesed, he's a man of kindness, and that is a person's tefillah is what brings all the good to the world, to himself, and that's doing Chesed of when a person focuses on this tefillah. And getting up early to go to the Beis Medrash and bringing up one's children in the words of Torah are included under Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And judging one's friend Lekav Schus is included in Hava Shalom, bringing peace between man and his friend, because since you're judging him favorably and you're going to say, oh, he didn't sin, he didn't mean to do this, he was forced to do this, or he really meant to do well, so then there's going to be peace between man and his friend because no one's going to get upset because you're going to judge him favorably. And Rabbi Yechon is coming to explain that in these three things of the Mishnah and Peah includes all these six items that we mentioned of what he mentions over there, as we just explained. And the fourth item of the Mishnah Peah of Kibud Avayim, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't argue on. He says, of course, that's included in things that Peah is same Oichem Oyel Mazeh and the Kirin Kirin Mazeh is Loim Abba. All he was coming to say is that those three other items of the Mishnah Peah are inclusive of the six items that he's mentioning in his statement. Therefore, it's not difficult because those things he mentions are included under the categories of the Mishnah Peah. So now the Gemara brings three stories related to the concept of one of the items that we said that brings a person that the Paris in this world and the Karen, the principle is he maintains for the next world. One of them was being down Lakav Schos, judging another favorably, which we said is included in the Mishnah Peah, bringing peace between one and the other, because judging favorably is going to not, there's not going to be any fights anymore, because generally what happens is that people say, oh, and this, and they start saying, and that's why it'll bring peace because he's going to judge him favorably. So the Gemara brings Torah Ban, we'll learn the Braisa. Hadan chaveir lekav schos. If someone judges his friend favorably, don an ois l'schos. So then they judge him, meaning from Shemayim, favorably also, and they don't see his negativity. That's why lashon hara is such a bad thing, because lashon hara is that you see the bad, and therefore in Shemayim they could be mekatrik. But then when the person only sees good, so then Shemayim midik negemida, they also only see good by him. So Gemara brings three stories to illustrate this. There was a certain individual that came down from the upper Galilee. And then he hired himself out to a homeowner in the south for 3 years. So Erev Yom Kippur, he wanted to go home, says, give me my pay, you owe me for all this time that I've been working for you. And let me go ahead and feed my wife and my kids, I have to go home, it's Tishrei, it's the Yom Tovim. Samalai, Ainli Mai says, sorry, I don't have any money. And there's a wealthy landowner. Samalai Tenli Pei says, fine, you don't have any money, give me produce. Go ahead, I'll use that. Amalai Ainli says, I'm sorry, I don't have produce. So he says, Tenli Karka, give me land, give me real estate, let me do something. He says, Ainli, I don't have any real estate, I don't have anything to give you. He says, Tenli Behema, give me livestock. He's looking around, he sees all these animals running around. He says, Ainli, I don't have. He says, Tenli Karmic Sasa, do me a favor, give me pillows, blankets, something. He says, Ainli, I don't have. So he put his stuff over, hung it over his back. He went home all saddened, all depressed. He didn't have what to take home for his wife and his kids after working all this long time. After Yom Tov, so the landowner came with the pay of all the time that the person worked for him. He was holding with it. With him, he had three donkeys laden with stuff. One was laden with food, one with drink, one with different types of delicacies. And he went to his employee's home. After they ate and they drank, he gave him his pay, what he owed him. So Amalei said to him, let me ask you, at the time that you told me, give me my pay, you know, you owe me, I worked for you for 3 years. And I said, I don't have any money. But what did you suspect me of? You know I'm wealthy and have money. I got to be honest, you know, although it seemed like something's up over here, I said that maybe you were able to find a certain purchase at very cheap price, and therefore you used up all your capital to go ahead and buy all these things at a very cheap price. Although you obviously have a lot of money, it was invested in something at that time. And then he says, at the time when you told me, give me animals. And I said, I don't have any livestock, I don't have any animals. But what do you suspect me of? You knew I had this whole ranch full of animals. I said, maybe it was rented out to others, that the others are using it, and you're making money off it. So he said, at the time that you told me, give me land, so at least give me real estate, you own all this land. And I told you, I don't have any land. But what did you suspect me of then? So he says, Amarti, I said, Shem Muchkeres Biadachem, maybe it's leased out to other people that, you know, they pay a certain amount for each year and then they're going to give based on that to the person that they're leasing it from. And therefore, maybe although you, I know you own so much land, but it's leased out to other people. When I told you I don't need produce, then what do you suspect me of? He says, Amarti, Shem Ein Musaris, I said, maybe, you know, maybe you didn't get a chance to give Meiser from it yet. And Tevel, you're not allowed to give out. I can't give it. You couldn't give it to me because it wasn't tithed yet. He says, when I told you I don't have any pillows and blankets, I don't have anything to give you, what do you suspect me of? He says, Amarti, I had nowhere to go anymore. He says, maybe he went and he sanctified all his possessions to heaven and therefore he has nothing to give because everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, it's exactly what happened. Hidarti kol nichse bishul hukunis benish las, which says, I went and made a neder, all my possessions are not mine. I don't want my son Hukunis to inherit me because he's not learning Torah. I wanted to show him that I'm not interested in him. It's chaver bedarim, but when I came to my friends in the south, to the Talmid Chacham, hitiruli kol nedarai, they were matter all my nedarim, and then I was able to get my money back because now it wasn't to hektish anymore, and now I came to pay you. And va'ata kishem shedenanti l'schus, just like you judged me favorably and all these different things, every time you kept on looking favorably, ha'makim yodin oisch l'schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably. And again, that illustrates and that really points out the idea that this is actually what happened. And sometimes we think it's very far-fetched, but there is that possibility, as many stories would illustrate that. And therefore he says, just like you were dam l'kavschus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge you l'kavschus also. Similarly, another story the Gemara brings, turn out, Banu learned in the Braisa. There was a story with a certain pious individual, which Rashi tells us, wherever it says in the Gemara that there was a story with a certain pious individual, either it means Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, or it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Eloi. So either one, it was a term of a very pious individual. That he redeemed from captivity a certain young Jewish girl. When they came to the hotel that night, she slept under by the foot of his bed, under his feet. Lamacher the next day, Yared v'tavol v'shalom tamidah, he goes down into the mikveh and he immerses himself, and he goes to teach his students. Now, which seems a little, you know, that he went to immerse himself in the mikveh, seems like that he was moitzi zera, and because why is he doing tefilas ezra? So therefore, Amalan, he said to his students, b'shoshesh kavtia tachas magaloise, but machash duni. At the time when I went and I had her sleep by the foot of my bed, what did you suspect me of? It seems like something improper. Amarnu, no, Shema Yesh Banu Tamid Shein the Badik L'Rebbe. He said, you know, of course the Rebbe, the Rashiva, shouldn't have a young girl sleeping by him in his room. But he said that maybe you're a little suspicious of one of the students, that you don't know yet exactly his character, to rely on him and to leave the girl with us because you didn't know about one of the fellows if he's not so upright. And therefore you kept her by you. Then he said, B'shoshi Raditi V'tavalti B'machashtuni. When I went down into the mikveh and I immersed myself, what did you suspect me then? Going ahead, toiveling in the mikveh, it seems like that I had improper relations. So Amarnu, no, Shemem ne tarich da haderech iru keri l'rebi. Maybe from the difficulty of the journey, which sometimes can be a cause to be moitzi zera, to cause keri, that maybe that's what happened to Rebbe, and that's why he had to go ahead and toivel in the mikveh. So Amalehem ha'avoyde kachoye, I swear that's exactly what happened, and that's why I kept her by me in my room, and that's why I went to toivel in the mikveh. Just like you judge me favorably, so to our Kadosh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably. That's exactly what happened. And although it seems like a little bit pointing in an improper way, since the truth is that they were right when they were down with Kav Schus, and therefore he gave them that bracha of the Mida connected Mida that Hashem should judge them favorably too. The third story the Gemara brings down is Tan Rabban. One time it was necessary for the Talmid Chacham, the Talmudic scholars, for a certain favor from one of the Roman noblewomen, that all the great men of Rome would always frequent this noblewoman. So Amr Mielech, they said, who's going to be the one to go to this Roman noblewoman to take care of this thing we need for the governmental purposes of Rome? So Amalami Bishur said to them, Ani Elech, I'll go. So Halach Rabbi Yeshuva Tamidav, he went with all his students. Kibin Shagi LePesach Beisa, once he came to the opening of her door, Cholat Tzvilav Baruchik Arba Amas, he took off his tefillin 4 Amas away, and V'nichnis, he went in, V'nol HaDelis Befnim, and he closed the door in front of his students. Achash Shayatz, after he came out, Yared V'tovav V'shalom Tamidav, he came out, he went immersed in the mikveh, and then he went to teach his students his shir. V'amalan, he said to them, B'shosha Chalatzti Tefillin B'machash Tuni. When I took off my tefillin, what did you suspect me of? Because a person now have tash mishamita wearing his tefillin. Did you suspect me of something when I took off my tefillin? So Manu, we thought, no, kisava Rebbe, that obviously our teacher holds that lo yichnasu diri kedusha b'makom tuma, you shouldn't bring in holy items, which are tefillin, in an impure place by this Roman noblewoman, which obviously not such moral and ethical things are going on over there. And then he says, b'shoshin alti b'machashuni, when I closed the door in front of you, I went in myself, what did you suspect me of then? Maybe some governmental things which have to be hidden from us because it can't get out, that you have to speak to her privately. And then they said, when I came out finally, after that time I spent and I went and I immersed in the mikveh, and then I came to teach you, what did you suspect me of then? We thought that maybe a flow of spit was sprayed from her mouth on Rebbe's garments. And that is because Chazal were geyser on the non-Jews that they should be like Zav, like to have a tumah of Ziva for all their purposes, and therefore just like the spit of a Zav, and a Zav will have a halacha of Nachrim, and the spit has the same halacha that it's metame. So too, when she spit on Rebbe by mistake, then now he has a tumah of Ziva, and that's why he had to go ahead and immerse himself in the mikvah. Amalehem Avodi Krachoy said, I swear to you, that's exactly what happened. And therefore, as we see from all these three stories, that first of all, that these things do happen. Being down the Kav's Schus is not just a mitzvah, there is that possibility. And moreover, when a person does that and he sees the good, which everyone has the option of seeing good or bad, then from Shemaya, Midi Keneged Mida, a person will also be judged Lekav's Schus. Now the Gemara resumes discussing our Mishnah. So he said, okay, we're allowing you to clear out four or five boxes, Fachnas Sesarchim, or for the Yeshiva Bachrim, for the people to learn in the Beis Medrash, to hear the Shir. Now, up to four or five boxes. So then the Mishnah went to elucidate and explain which cases, what are we allowed to move? So obviously it's items that are not Muktzah, that you're allowed to move, and things that are Muktzah, you can't move. So one of the items the Mishnah said was, Mefan and Truma Tahar V'chulu, that you could clear out a Truma that's Tahar, and you could use it, as we explained on the Mishnah, even if it's tevin, which is straw, which is animal fodder, but since it can be used for the behemah of a kohen, so then we say that it's considered something that's usable on Shabbos, and it's not mukta, and you could, and now with that, we don't have the problem of tircha because of achnas tarichim, and for the bitl beis medrash, we'll let it clear out those five boxes. The Gemara asks pshita. It's obvious. Truma tahira, of course, it's something that can be consumed on Shabbos. So therefore, what's the problem? Why we have to tell you that more than regular food items that you can move five boxes worth of it? Nothing more says loy tzricha. The mantra we had, so it's talking about that it's in a Yisrael's possession, not a kohen. And ma'adutim ekivin uchaz lay aser. And what would I say? That maybe because since it's not fit for him, he's not a kohen, and he cannot consume it and use it, therefore it should be aser for him, it should be mukzer. Since it's fit for a kohen, that's not considered mukzer. If a kohen would come to me, he's allowed to give it to him, so therefore even though for himself he can't use it, it's not considered a mukzer item, and that was the chiddush of that case. The next case was udemai. And demai, which is a produce bought from an amal oritz, which is not clear if he took off maaser or not, so therefore Chazal went ahead and made a gzer and said that it's going to be considered that it was not tithe beforehand, and therefore you have to take off trumas of maizes. And that the Gemara asked, demai holichazle, what do you mean? Demai is not fit to be used, because it's just, we gave it our abundant status of tevel, that until you take off trumas of maizes, you can't eat it, so why is it not mukta? Why do we allow you to move it? And that the Gemara says, kibin de boye mafkele le nichse, behava oni v'chazile, that since if he wanted, he has the allowance to go ahead and be mafker and say that everything he owns is ownerless, and then he becomes a pauper, and then the demai is fit for him. So hashtanami chazli. So now it's also considered fit for him because since he has the availability to go ahead and eat his demai on Shabbos in the circumstance that he would find fit to be mafker all his nechasim and then be a poor person, and a poor person's allowed to eat demai, so therefore it's considered viable for him. As the Gemara says now, as we learn in the Mishnah, mechil nesanim demai, we allow the poor people to eat demai. And that is, although Chazal made a gzeira, they didn't make it forbidden for poor people, because since the poor people have to go around collecting by the doors, and also especially by the Amaratzim, by the people that are not Tamil Chum, so therefore Chazal relied on the majority of the Amaratzim that they do take Meister. And therefore, although we made a gzeir because of the minority, since it was a minority that was shchiach, we made the gzeir, but since the majority do take, we allowed a leniency for the anim, we never made the gzeir on them from taking demai, and since he could be an ani, for everyone demai is considered fit, and therefore it's not muktzah. And the Mishnah there says also, v'esach senoi demai, same thing applies for the army soldiers of the Jewish king, that it's incumbent upon the people of the city to go ahead and support them and give them food, they're allowed to give them demai also, the same leniency applies. Rav Huna says, Tana, we learned similarly that Beishamay Oimim in Mechil Nesanim Demai Vesach Senoi Demai. The Beishamay says that we're not allowed to give to food, to feed even the poor or the soldiers Demai. And as the Mefarshim say, why we repeat this is because we wanted to tell you, wherever you find somewhere it says that Tanim and Achsenoi, you're not allowed to give Demai, that's Beishamay. But the way we paskin, and again, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, that the aniim, the poor people, and the achsenoyim, the soldiers, could eat demai. And therefore, since a person could make himself poor by being mafkirish things, so therefore, demai is not considered muktzah. Then the Mishnah continued, umaiserichin shenit litrumasin. Similarly, regarding maiserichin, which is the first tithe which is given to the Levim, that had his trumas maiser taken off him, which is he gives a tenth of his tenth to the kohen, that's also considered something that's movable on Shabbos. And now the Gemara thinks that what we're talking about over here, it's the Trumas Meiser that the Levi gives to the Kohen. And definitely Truma Gedayla, which every Yisrael has to be Mafresh, and that he was Mafresh before he gave the Meiser to the Levi. So the Gemara asks Peshitta, it's obvious. What do you mean? Of course, if the Levi took off from his Meiser, the Trumas Meiser has to give to the Kohen. So it's regular, edible, viable, regular Meiser that you could eat. So what's the Chiddush that you could move there? Another thing about this is, Lo Yitzricha Shekdimi B'Shiboyl. The case we're talking about is that the Levi took his Meiser before the Truma was given to the Kohen. And that is, Yisrael has to be Mafresh Truma Gedayla first, which is what he gives to the Kohen. As the Pasuk says in Shmoyis Chavbeis, Melei Ascha V'demacha Lo Yitzachar, that you cannot delay your Melei Ascha, which the Gemara says that's a reference to Bikurim. And from there you see that whoever does Truma before Bikurim gets Malkus. And similarly, demacha, the next word in the pasuk is demacha. That's a reference to truma. That if a person gives his maaser before truma, he gets malchus. Now, that is only talking about if it was smoothed out in the pile, which is after that the produce is threshed. Then we go ahead and we pile it up into one big pile, and the pile is smoothed out. Then when that happens, then there's malchus if he gives the maaser before the truma. But if he goes ahead and takes maaser before the truma when it's still in the ears of the grain, then he doesn't get malchus, as the Gemara says. That's the chiddush that we're talking about. We're talking about that he took the maaser before the truma when it was still in the ears of the grain. But not lemen the truma is maaser, but not lemen the truma gedayla. That the Levi that took his maaser before the kohen took his truma, even, which is really supposed to come first, he took his maaser. He went now. He took of his trumas maaser, which is the tenth from his tenth he gave to the kohen. However, he didn't give him the original truma gedayla, which was supposed to be taken off before he even took his maaser. And the Chihadam Rebavoam Rishlakish, that it's like the statement of Rishlakish that said, Maiserishin Shekdimi Bishabolim, regarding Maiserishin, which was taken in the, when it was still the ears of grain, that he took it before he took it, the Truma Gedayla, part of the Truma Gedayla. It's although it was wrong, because really he was supposed to have the Truma Gedayla taken up before he was even the Levi could take his Maiser. However, if he did take it when it was still in the ears of the grain, he's exempt from Truma Gedayla. He doesn't have to take off the amount that was supposed to be given to the Kohen from the Yisrael straight before he took his Meiser. Shanem, like it says in the Pasuk, Very Meisim Imenu Trumas Hashem, Meisim in the Meiser, it says in reference to the Levim, by Trumas Meiser, it says that he should take off, he should separate from the Trumas Meiser, from the tenth that he got from the Yisrael, a Meiser min a Meiser, a tenth from his tenth, which that's the Trumas Meiser that he gives from his tenth, that he gives a tenth of that to the Kohen. And that the Drush Rish Lakish says is, Meiser min a Meiser matilach. I only told you to take off a tenth from the tenth, v'loy truma gedoylu u'trumas Meiser min a Meiser, but not to take off the great truma, which is the truma of 1/50th that the Yisrael is supposed to take off first, although again he's supposed to first take off the truma gedoylu, but if the Levi went before the pile was smoothed out and he took his tenth, then again it only says Meiser min a Meiser, but not to take off the truma gedoylu and a Meiser min a Meiser. On that, Amalei Rav Papa Abayah, so Rav Papa asked Abayah, Ihachi, if that's the case, Afilik Dimi Bikri Namili Fatih, if we have this pasuk that says that although it was wrong, but the Levi went, he only takes off a tenth from his tenth, and not the Truma Gedayla, which he preempted, so then it should be even after he smoothed the pile, why is it only when he took it by the ears of the grain before it was threshed and smoothed into the pile, even afterwards, it still says he only should give, even when it's wrong, he only gives a Maisa Min a Maisa, but not Truma Gedayla Maisa Min a Maisa. Amalei, on that Abayi responded to Rav Papa, Alecha Makra, regarding you, the Pasuk says, a different Pasuk, to say that no, that if the pile was smoothed out already, then he has to take not only Maisa from his Maisa, but even the Truma Gedayla, like it says, Mekol Matnei Seichem Terim of a Goymer, that from all your gifts, you have to take off Truma, and that's also, that Pasuk also is told by the Levim, by Trumas Maisa, and it says that all the Trumas of Hashem, which Kol is inclusive, it sounds like any type of Truma, even Truma Gedayla, you have to take off from your matanas, which we find that it's telling you not only Maisa you have to take off, but even the Truma Gedayla. And that the Gemara says, Marisa, where do you see from here that, wait a second, there's two psukim. One makes it sound like you only take off a tenth from your tenth, even though you did wrong and preempted the Truma Gedayla, it still has to be taken off from the tenth that you took off. Still, it says only Maisa and not Maisa. Yet another pasuk says, Mikol Matnei Seichem, all you give to have to take off Truma, which has all types of Truma, even Truma Gedayla, and not only Maisa and not Maisa. So how do you know one is talking about when it's by the ears, and that you have to take off only from the Maisa and not Maisa, but when it was already smoothed out in the pile, then that includes even Truma Gedayla? How do you see that would be the difference? And that the Gemara says, Hi Idyan. Regarding the case of when it was smoothed out in the pile already, after it was threshed, and then you took all the grains and smoothed it out, that already became dog and it became grain. And that is when there's a chalois of an obligation of a truma, like the pasuk in Devarim Yud-Ches says, "Reishis deganecha," the first of your grain, and it's called grain when it's already smoothed out in the pile and it's prepared. And therefore, when the Levi goes and takes it when it was already smoothed out in the pile, then he has to go give back to the kohen 2 out of every 100, which is 1 out of every 50, and then he could go ahead and take his tenth from that. But that he has to give. Hi, lo yidgan. But regarding when he took it, when it was still in the ears of the grain, that's not halachically called dagon. And therefore, that is where we're not going to require you to go ahead and take off truma gedayla. Also, it's only mikomat neseichim as a reference when it's dagon, because that's really when the chalais of truma is chal, of reishis deganecha. Therefore, when it's smoothed out in the pile, then you have to take out both. When it was still in the ears of the grain, then you only have to take out maisa and maisa, but not truma gedayla and maisa and maisa. Now the Gemara continues with the next idea of the Mishnah, which said another item that could be moved with the 5 boxes, u'maisa sheni and hektish that were redeemed. To which the Gemara asks, pshita, what I mean, it's obvious. Maisa sheni and hektish, although they have to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Yerushalayim, however, if they're redeemed, you could consume it wherever you want to, and it's mutter to be used. So what's the chiddush? It's like regular chulun. Then the Gemara says, lo yitzuicha shenos nesakeren v'lo yinos nesachemish. It's talking about a case when you redeemed it, you only give the principal, but you didn't give the extra fifth. And that is when a person goes ahead and redeems his own hektish or his own maisa sheni. Not only does he have to give the principal as redemption to take that money up to Yerushalayim, but he has to add another fifth. And he would talk about that he only gave the principal and not the fifth. That's the chiddush, that the extra fifth, although it's an obligation, but it does not hold back the permission to consume the ma'aser sheni and the hektish. And therefore, once you give the principal, it's considered mutra, and that's why it's not mukta, and you can move. Finally, the Mishnah said, v'haturmas hayavish v'chulu, and the dry turmas, which is a type of bean, that we said that's also considered movable, and you can move the 5 boxes, because it's food that's fodder that's given for ezim for goats. And that the Gemara comments that dafka yavish aval achloi, that this turmis, this bean, we said is dafka, that's necessarily when it's dry, but when it's moist, then it is mukta and you can't move it. My time, what's the reason? Kivin the moral loy achla, since when it's moist, it's bitter, then loy achla, then the goats are not going to eat it, so then it's not going to be fit even for goats, then no one's going to use it, and therefore on Shabbos, since it has no purpose, it's going to be mukta, then one would not be allowed to move it. It's only haturmas hayavish, when they're dry, then it's not so bitter, then the goats will eat it, and therefore then it's not mukta, and therefore then you can move 5 boxes of this haturmas hayavish.